Hey, good evening, everyone. Good Erev Shabbos. I got a little musr this week. A guy came over to me in shul, a visitor, and he said, Rabbi, enough with your favorite idea. He said, because if you have a favorite idea, it means you don't like the other ideas. He goes, I'm done with only one idea being good. He goes, they all three have to be on the money tonight, or I don't want to hear from you. So all three ideas tonight are my favorite ideas. And that gives you insight into the life of a rabbi. Okay, idea number one is right from the beginning of the parsha. Right from the beginning of the parsha, Vayakam Melech Chadash. Of course, Paro comes onto the scene, and the big question is, how could the Egyptians have forgotten everything that Yosef had done? After all, if it wasn't for Yosef, Mitzrayim never would have been in the position that they were in. They never would have achieved the success that they are achieving with the famine. And so how all of a sudden could Paro have so quickly forgotten about the Jews, forgotten about what Yosef did, and turned on the Jewish people? And so the pasuk tells us, Vayakam Melech Chadash, and Rashi says, he quotes Rav and Shmuel, that Chad Amar Chadash Mamish, that one says it was really a new king. In other words, it was a new sheriff in town. And because it was a new sheriff in town, he literally forgot everything that Yosef had done. V'chad Amar, and the other opinion is, Shenischad Shu Gzeirosav. It was the same Paro, but Nischad Shu Gzeirosav, he changed his ways. And so even though it was the same Paro, he changed the way that he interacted with the Jews, so it was as if he was a new Paro. Parenthetically, you'll notice that Paro throughout the Tanakh only has one name, and that is Paro. Okay, that'll be for a Tanakh shir at a later time, why the Torah specifically chooses to not differentiate between a Paro here and a Paro that we're going to encounter later on in Nach. Why is Paro used as a generic term? But aside from that, right, Vayakam Elachadash, Yesh Omrim, there are some who say it's a Chadash Mamish, that it's really a new king. V'chad Amar Shnischad Shukazerusa. Says Rav Aaron Yehuda Leib Steinman. Rav Steinman, of course, with the Gadol Ador, passed away in 2017. And he writes the following in the second paragraph. It's such an obvious and yet beautiful idea. He writes, V'lamand Amar Shnikra Chadash Mishum Shnischadesh Gzerosav. Right, let's say, for example, Rabbi Goldberg all of a sudden becomes a Satmar Chassid, okay? Rabbi Goldberg grew up in Teaneck, New Jersey. All of a sudden, he becomes a Satmar Chassid. So would you say that you have a new Shul Rabbi? No, you would say it's the same Rabbi Goldberg, but he's like a little, he's a little different than he was when he was growing up and went to Frisch, right? So what does this mean that because he is Nishchad Shuk Zerosav, therefore he's called Chadash? Says Rav Aaron Yehuda Leib Steinman, such a beautiful idea. Lamadnu mizeh, we learn from here. She'adam hameshane es hanhagaso nechshav ka'adam chadash. That when a person changes the way that they act, they become a new person. And so here you have, according to the second opinion, vayaka melech chadash, we consider Parov to be a new person. Parov didn't change. He's the same person. So what does it mean he's a new person? It means he started behaving differently. And says Rav Steinman, when you behave differently, when you act differently, so you actually become a new person. He says, how do I know this? I know this because if you look in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, it says, Shinui Hashem, Kore es Gezar Din Shel Adam. And the Rambam quotes that. He says, Midarchei HaTshuva, one of the ways we do tshuva, he says, Mishane Shmo, you change your name. And what does the Rambam describe as changing your name? Kolomar, Ani Acher, I'm a different person. Ve'eni oso aisha, oso oso amaisim. And I'm not the person who did the same actions that I did before I did tshuva. U'mishane ma'asav kulan latova v'laderach ishara. The Rambam is very specific in his language. What does the person do when he's mishane shmo, when he changes his name? So it's not that he goes to the DMV and he puts a new name on his license plate. It's not that he adds in his Hebrew name. You know, he goes from, oh, what a chush of a guest. It's not that he goes from his English name to his Hebrew name, but the Rambam, when describing how a person is Mishane Shmo, what does he say? He says, Mishane Ma'asav. You change your actions. And therefore, says Rav Steinman, that when a person changes the way they act, they change and they become into a new person. And therefore, he says, Umashma, She'arambam Mefarish, the Rambam explains, Da'mechavein b'shinui Hashem. What does it mean that you change your name? Zeshinui anhaga. That happens when you change your actions. V'lo maspik shinu Hashem bilvad. He says it's not just enough to be like, oh, I'm going from Philip Moskowitz to Gabriel Pinchas Moskowitz, therefore I'm a new person. Right? Ella, al yedei shinoi anhaga, but by me changing my actions, hu nechshav ka'adam achir. Then I become a new person. So if you look back in the pasuk, vayakam melech hadash, the pasuk tells us that there was a new paro. One said it was really a new paro. The other said it wasn't really a new paro, but just paro changed his actions. Says Rosh Steinman, we see from there that when you change the way that you act, you become a new person. Which means as follows, that if you want to change, says Rosh Steinman, it's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. What do you do to change? You change your actions. You want to be a guy who comes to Minyan? It's very simple. You start showing up. You want to be the guy who gets up early in the morning? You start acting that way. And over time, by acting that way for a certain period of time, you actually change the person that you are. And so you want to be a runner, you want to be a morning person, you want to be a learner. That doesn't happen overnight. And it doesn't happen by you sitting there and philosophizing and saying, oh, I wish I could become a morning person, I wish I could be a learner, or I wish I could, you know, get in better shape. It happens by changing your actions. And by us changing our behaviors, we change the person that we are. I'll give you a very dramatic example of this because it's such an unbelievable example. We're going to host in a few weeks a program called Peace of Mind, which are Israeli soldiers. Ninveh. What? Ninveh. Ninveh?
Same idea.
Yeah.
Hold however many yomim, but Ninveh
never passes. Okay, because they changed. What happened? They changed the way they acted. Right, right. I'll tell you a modern day example. What?
Well, you're like you're reborn again.
Well, there's like an actual rebirth taking place, the mikvah and stuff like that. But you read any habit book, you read any book about change, they all tell you that your behaviors are going to dictate the type of person you are. I'll tell you a crazy story about this. So about in 2019, we hosted a unit of Israeli soldiers under a program called Peace of Mind. There was a soldier there, his name is Yoav Toledano. And Yoav finished his army service in Israel, went to Italy, and was doing, I think, a degree in psychology. He was living with his girlfriend. He was not a religious person at all. So what is an Israeli who finishes the army, goes to Italy, and is in a psychology degree? What do they do to make money? So security. So he starts working as security in the Chabad of Bologna. That's how you pronounce it, right? Bologna? Not, yeah. Bologna? Okay, Bologna. So he starts working as security. So like any good Chabad, what happens? Every morning, they only have 9 people. So they go out, and they go to Yoav, and they say, Yoav, you know, can you come in and be the 10th? So this happens day after day. Now, I don't know if the Chabad rabbi contrived it to be this way, but every day, Yoav was the 10th guy, and every day you would have to come in a shul. And what happens when you come in a shul? So you, like, go through the motions, because they need you for the minyan. And basically what ended up happening is he ended up being in shul so many times for so long that he started then paying attention to Chumash. And when they were reading the Torah, and then to the Siddur, and then all of a sudden he woke up one day and he's like, I realized I was a religious Jew without even realizing it because I was going to Minyan 3 times a day, and it totally changed the person he is. And he got paid for it. We give out cholent and slushies. All right, that's the second best, right? But what happened without even realizing it, just by changing his behaviors, even though it was forced upon him, it was part of his job. It ended up changing the person who he became. He became religious, moved back to Eretz Yisrael, right? That's the power of our actions. So if you want to change the person you are, as the Rambam says, Mishana Shmo, you want to change the person that you are, how does that happen, says the Rambam? He's very explicit. Mishana Ma'asav, Kulan Latova. You start behaving in a different way, okay? You want to be a more generous person? It's not going to happen by sitting in bed and philosophizing about being a generous person. You're going to become a more generous person by giving tzedakah. You want to be a nicer person? You want to be a more kind person? It's going to happen by saying, please, thank you, good morning, saying hello to the cash register, you know, the person behind the cash register. You do that enough times, it's going to change the person that you are. It's going to, by changing our behaviors, that's going to change the person that we are. That's the idea of ayaka melechadash. By changing his actions, Paro became a new person. Says Rosh Steinman, that's Musar for every single one of us. Because it means if Paro became a new person by changing his actions, then you and I, Latova, for good, by changing our actions, we too can become a new person. That's idea number one. Now, if you didn't like that idea, I'm sorry. Because idea number two is very similar to idea number one. If you did like that idea number two is the perfect complement to idea number one. Idea number two comes from the Alexander Rebbe in this quote in the Sefer, Chashva Latova, says something unbelievable. Moshe comes to the snap. As we said at the beginning, all ideas tonight are the best ideas. They're all my favorites. They're all Kulam Shavan Latova. They're all perfect, right? So here we go. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the snat, and he sees that the snat is, of course, on fire, and it's not burning. Now, much literature has been spent trying to understand and explaining this. Listen to what the Alexander Rebbe says, something so beautifully. He says the snat is a representation of galus, representation of exile. And what does that mean? He says, if you look at my underline on page number 2, he says hasne al hagalus. It's representative of exile. Umarames kishe Yisrael hema b'shiflus gamor. Ubelim shum lachluchis ubelo peros. V'alim kmo hasne. The Jewish people at times throughout our history, we were like the sne. What was the sne? It was a tree with no fruit, with no beauty. It had no leaves on it. Right, and you see the images, like any time you see an image of the sneh, it's just like, it's wood. There are no leaves on it, there's no fruit growing from it, there's no beauty to it whatsoever. It's completely dry, and it's withered out. Afal pichein, even though that's the case, hashchina im kol echad ve'echad miYisrael. Even though the sneh had no firut, and no beauty, and no source of life, nonetheless, what was found inside of it? The shchina. The shchina. Says the Alexander Rebbe, that's a metaphor for us as Jews. That even when we feel like the sneh, even when we feel like our Judaism is depleted, like we are a withered Jew, like there's no vibrancy and vivaciousness to our Judaism, we too can have the Shekhinah there. That's the Pintel Yid. That's the part of Judaism that's in each one of us. Ah, so says the Alexander Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu is looking at this and he's saying, what a beautiful idea, Rabbi Moskowitz. That's such a beautiful idea that even when every Jew is depleted, there's still the Shekhinah there. He says, but I have a question. V'hinei al zeh amara nisbala Moshe Rabbeinu ma'od. Moshe Rabbeinu is looking at this and he doesn't understand it. Ki achareisha Shekhinah besoch b'nei Yisrael. After Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that the Shekhinah is in every single one of us, Moshe Rabbeinu has the following question. Why is it that not all of us are on fire? In other words, if I have the Shekhinah in me, and you have the Shekhinah in you, and you have the Shekhinah, why aren't we all Jews that are roaring on fire? Why is it that we sometimes struggle in a minyan, in a davening, in a learning, sometimes we struggle in mitzvos? Why isn't it that every Jew is on fire? We have God inside of us, Moshe Rabbeinu. We're like the sneh. So why aren't we on fire? That was Moshe Rabbeinu's question, says the Alexander Rebbe. Listen to his answer. Well, you don't like that question. Okay. Okay, can you listen to the answer and then realize it's the... Okay, you'll take it up with the Alexander Rebbe. No, hold on. Listen to the answer. Because I think the answer is the important part here. V'al zeh hi shivlo shal na'alecha. What was the pasuk? Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. Moshe Rabbeinu comes, and Hashem says, take off your shoes. And a lot has been written about why take off your shoes, right? The very famous idea that Hashem wants Moshe Rabbeinu to feel the ground, right? When you take off your shoes, I never understood. My daughter walks around without shoes all the time. I'm like, isn't that uncomfortable? But she likes it. But supposedly, when you walk around without shoes, so it's very uncomfortable. You're supposed to feel the pain of the ground. So Hashem wants Moshe Rabbeinu to feel the pain of the Jewish people. But why shal na'alecha me'al raglecha? Says the Alexander Rebbe, we translated, right, na'alecha as your shoes and raglecha as your feet. He said we're wrong. He says we're wrong. Because na'alecha doesn't mean shoes, doesn't just mean shoes, but rather, you know what else it means? Na'al? To lock, to close something. And raglecha doesn't just mean shoes, but what else does it mean? Your regel, your hergel, your habits. Says the Alexander Rebbe that Moshe Rabbeinu realized, shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. That what do you have to do? You have to break your habits. You have to break your habits. Listen to his language. Ki ha'adam nitva be'etzem achomer. A person is subsumed. We're consumed by physicality, by materialism, by gashmias. V'tzarech lahavshir atzma me'achomrios. We have to remove that chomrios on us. We have behaviors that are so driven by physical base animalistic needs. How do we remove that? How do we break free? Uperish me'al raglecha. Latseis mina hergel. that we have to break those habits. V'achar kach, and once we break the habits, then yikanes l'kedusha. Then you can enter into a life of kedusha. And so our baseline is physicality. We have physical needs, eating and drinking and sleeping, and right? We have very base animalistic physical needs. How do we break that? How do we elevate ourselves to a sense of kedusha? How do we light ourselves on fire the same way Moshe Rabbeinu is struggling at the snap? He says, that's what Hashem taught him. Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. It doesn't just mean take off your shoes. It means remove the na'al. Unlock yourself. Unlock what's holding you back. Me'al raglecha. And how do you do it? By breaking your hergel, by breaking your habits. Very similar to idea number one. All of us have habits. Some of us have good habits. Others of us have bad habits. But how are we going to break free from what's holding us back? How are we going to break free from those bad habits that have been holding us back the whole time? Says the Alexander Rebbe, Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. You have to remove the locks. You have to remove the barriers that you put in your way, me'al raglecha, by breaking those bad habits that you have. And I think that's why it very much complements idea number one. Because how do you break a bad habit? He doesn't get to this part, but I think that's where Steinman comes in. You break a bad habit by your behaviors, by acting in a certain way, by behaving over and over and over again in a generous way. Even if you're a miserly person, you're eventually going to become a generous person. That's why the Rambam very famously says, the Rambam obviously wasn't a shul rabbi, but the Rambam says if you could give $100 or $100 100 times, the Rambam says give the $100 bills 100 times. Because every act of giving is going to change the person that you are, right? Now, of course, we'll happily take the check for $100 at shul, but the behavior, the action is going to change you. And therefore, that's what the Alexander Rebbe says, shal na'alecha, me'al raglecha. That what do we have to do? Na'al is not just take off your shoe, but it's the lock. Regel is not just your foot, but it's your habit. We have to break those habits. We have needs. We have desires. We have a Yetzirah. We have things that constantly draw us to a materialistic, physical world. Our entire lives are trying to break that connection to materialism and connect ourselves to a sense of spirituality. That, says the Alexander Rebbe, was really what Moshe was facing there at the Sneh. That was the conundrum. Again, that's what he argues, the conundrum of what Moshe Rabbeinu was struggling with. And his answer is, you got to break those habits. And he says, Latseis min hergel. When you change those behaviors, so what's going to happen? V'achar kach yikanes l'kedusha. I remember there was a friend of mine, I went to high school with him, and we both went to Israel, and then we went separate ways. Let's put it that way. So I spoke to him a few years later, and we were talking about davening and shul and stuff like that. Very similar conversation. He said to me, davening doesn't do anything to me. I was like, that's so interesting. I was like, can you just like walk me through your daily schedule? So he's walking me through his daily schedule, and I was like, yeah, of course davening doesn't do anything for you. Because you don't go to shul, you're on your phone, you're like what do you, like if you have habits that are bad, of course you're not going to be able to access and tap into a sense of kedusha. You have to sometimes, even if it's forceful and even if it's against your nature, we have to break really bad habits sometimes. So yeah, is it easier for me to stay in bed in the morning? Of course it's easier for me to stay in bed in the morning. Especially on these blistering cold winter mornings here in Boca when it's like 60 degrees and you're shivering under the covers. Right? So of course, what was that?
57.
So of course it's easier to stay in bed. But that's the shal na'alecha me'al raglecha, says the Alexander Rebbe. If you want to tap into Kedusha, if you want to access Kedusha, you have to break that habit sometimes. That's the job of a Jew. The job of a Jew sometimes is not to do what's easiest for us, but to be willing to break those habits, and that's how we're going to tap into and access Kedusha. And so ideas number one and two very much, I believe, complement each other. Idea number one was from Rav Aaron Yehuda Leib Steinman, Vayakam Melech Chadash, that all of us can become new people. How do we do that? By changing our behaviors, by changing our actions. Idea number two, the Alexander Rebbe, is really definitely Hasidic, but beautiful understanding of the pasuk, Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha, is not just Hashem telling Moshe to take off his shoes, but he's telling Moshe that the way to access Kedusha is by breaking the locks, by breaking the barriers that are holding you back, by breaking your bad habits. Now we come to idea number three. Idea number three is from Rav Matisyahu Salman, whose yurtzeit is coming up this week, and so I thought it would be appropriate to share some of his Torah. Rav Matisyahu Salman publishes in Matnas Chaim the following idea. He writes that if you think about it, we're told very little about Moshe Rabbeinu. at the beginning of his life. No different than Avram, Noach, other great figures in Jewish history up until this point. But the Torah does tell us two things about Moshe. And it's very specific, I believe, but also it only teases us with information about Moshe. So what does it tell us? You have here two psukim. That's all I'm going to share with you. We're just going to read psukim. Vayihi bayamim ahem, vayigdal Moshe. Moshe grows up. Of course, the famous idea, what does it mean that Moshe grows up? Right, he was already older at that age. Because it was vayetze elacha, vayar besiv losam. That growing up in Judaism isn't a definition of age, but it's a different definition of recognizing the suffering of other people. That when you can look outside of yourself and see the needs of other people, that is a gadol. Okay? Vayar. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu see? Vayar ish mitzri makeh ish ivri me'echav. Psukim are very specific. It's an Egyptian who's hitting a Jew. Vayifen ko vacho. Moshe Rabbeinu looks around. Vayar kinish. He realizes that ain't nobody coming to help him. Vayach es hamitzri v'itmeneo bacho. And he kills the Egyptian, buries him in the sand. Very next pasuk. Next day, Vayetze beyom hasheni. Moshe Rabbeinu comes out again. By the way, I know you all know these psukim. I'm reading them on purpose because I'm going to highlight things that we may not have appreciated up until this point. Comes out the second day. Vine shnei anashim ivrim nitzim. Now it's two Jews who are fighting. Vayomer l'rasha lama takerecha. Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, holy brother, why is it that you're hitting your friend? Vayomer, and the guy says to him, who put you in the boss over me? Right? Who put you in charge of me? So what happens? Vayira Moshe vayomar acheno da davar. Moshe gets very afraid and he realizes, they know about it. So what do we assume Moshe Rabbeinu thinks they know about? So Pashup Shah and the Pasuk is they know what happened yesterday. They know that I killed the Egyptian yesterday. And therefore, when the Jew says, you're going to kill me like you killed the other guy, Moshe says, okay, now it's known. And of course, right away, Moshe runs away. That's not what Rashi says, by the way. If you look in Rashi over there, Noda li hadavar, Moshe says, now it's known to me. Shehayisi temea alev. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I didn't understand it. Mechatu Yisrael mikol shivim umos lios nirdim be'avodas parach. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was always wondering why the Jewish people were persecuted. Like, what did we do so bad to be deserving of going down to Mitzrayim? That's a loaded question, right? What does Moshe say? Aval roa ani shehim ru'uyim l'kach. But now I realize that they deserve it. Like, what is going on here? What is going on here? So says Rav Matzial Salomon the following idea. This is like life-changing, what he's about to say. Rav Matzial Salomon says that there are two threats that Jews have faced throughout history. One is external threats, and the other is internal threats. Throughout our history, we have faced many external threats. Everyone from Paro to Haman to Antiochus to Achashverosh, right? There have been people throughout our history that have physically wanted to kill us up until this very day and beyond. We also know that there are internal threats throughout history. There are threats that emerge internally from the Jewish people, namely, that we can't get along with one another. Yosef and the brothers, Sinas Chinam, Second Beis Hamikdash, we know those stories also. Says Rav Matzial Salomon, those two threats are what these two psukim are talking about. Pasuk number one, Moshe Rabbeinu comes out. I'm telling you, this is going to blow your mind away. Moshe Rabbeinu comes out, and who's hitting who? It's an Egyptian hitting a Jew. It's an external threat. It's the enemies coming to destroy us. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Vayifen ko vacho. He does what Jews throughout a lot of history have done. They looked around, and they wondered, where are all my friends? Where are my neighbors? Where are the country that's supposed to protect me? Where's the United Nations, right? You give your example. Like, where are the people that are supposed to be protecting us? And all of a sudden, they disappear. Vayifen kovacho. You look around, and you think the United Nations is supposed to protect Israel, and all of a sudden, they're not. Vayifen kovacho. You wonder, and again, you can go through literally any period of history. Where are the Spanish, and where are the Portuguese? Where are they all? Okay, so what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Vayar kenish. He realizes that they ain't coming to help him. That at the end of the day, you cannot rely on others. So what does he do? Vayaches amitri. He realizes that sometimes Jews have to pick up arms and weapons and defend themselves. And that is one of the modern miracles of the state of Israel, is that we have the ability to do that. That's pasuk number one. Pasuk number one is, there was an external threat. Moshe Rabbeinu realizes no one's coming to help the Jews. And what does he do? He steps up, he takes weapons, and he destroys the enemy. And that's been our history. At every single point when we faced an external threat, we have survived. And we have defeated the enemy. But then, says Rav Matisyahu Salomon, come to the next pasuk. Because the next pasuk is not an Egyptian hitting a Jew, but now it is Jew versus Jew. Now it represents those moments in history, not of external threats, but of internal threats. And what happens now? What happens now? They say to Moshe, who put you in charge of us? Get away, basically. Vayira Me'od. Moshe gets very afraid. You didn't notice that that pasuk is missing from the first pasuk? Moshe wasn't afraid when it was an Egyptian beating the Jew. He was only afraid when it was the Jew beating the Jew. What was Moshe so afraid of? And then the pasuk says, Vayomar, Acheinu Da Davar. Now I realize it. Rashi says, what does he realize? Ro'ani Sheim Ruim Lekach. Now I know why we're getting punished. Now we understand Rashi. Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that as opposed to the external threats, where we'll always be victorious, it's the internal threats. It's when Jews fight other Jews that it's Vayira Moshe. Moshe gets afraid. And he says, Acheinu Da Davar, I realize, Sheim Ruim Lekach. Now I know why all the bad stuff happens to the Jews. Not because of the external threats, but why? Because they can't get along with one another. And so therefore, says Rav Matisyahu Salomon, as opposed to external threats throughout history, every single one, we have not just emerged alive, victorious, triumphant, right? Persians, Babylonians, Romans, Greeks, you name it. We're still here, they're gone. What about the internal threats? Says Rav Matisyahu Salomon, every point in history when there's been an internal threat, when it's Jew versus Jew, we have defeated ourselves. Whether it was Yosef and the brothers, which brought us down to Mitzrayim, whether it was Bayit Sheni, where Chazal tell us that it was a result of Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam brought down Bayit Sheni? What about the Romans? What about armies traversing, you know, Africa to get and destroy Israel? Sinas Chinam, yeah, the answer is, says Rav Matisyahu Salomon, that Sinas Chinam destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. And he says that that applies today as well. Now, Rav Matisyahu Salomon was Nifter last year. I don't think he understood how prescient these words were, but I do think that it eerily describes the narrative of Jewish history. We will always be victorious against external enemies. The only thing that has done us in and will continue to do us in until we get it right is us getting along with each other. And that's his Rav Matisyahu Salomon. Now, if you look in the Psukim, it's so beautiful. In Pasuk number one, the Viv and Kovacho, Moshe Rabbeinu realizes no one's going to help him. And so he stands up, Ayachesh HaMitzri, he's victorious. It's the second pasuk, a Jew versus a Jew. We're not, Jews aren't so strong. We're much less threatening. And yet, Vayira Moshe, Moshe starts shaking. And he says, Acheinu Da Davar, now I get it. And we didn't understand, what did Moshe get? We thought he got, oh, that it's known what happened yesterday. And Rashi made this very kind of strange, ambiguous statement. Ro'a Anishe Ru'yin L'kach. I now realize that they're deserving of it. What does A have to do with B? Says Rav Matisyahu Salomon, it's because we don't get along. That's when the bad stuff happens. That's when we erode ourselves internally. That's when we're not going to be able to be victorious. And the only healing for that is when we learn to get along as well. To me, I don't know about you, but if that doesn't blow your mind away of the reading of those two psukim, helping understand literally the totality of Jewish history. And now you also understand why out of all things they could have told us about Moshe Rabbeinu, it tells us these two psukim, and basically nothing else. Because this is all we have to know. This is a representation of Jewish history. Moshe is now that microcosm of how the Jewish people are going to live out our history. External threats, Vayaches HaMitzri. We're going to be victorious. Internal threats, Vayira Moshe. That is what should cause us great concern and fear. And so we saw three ideas in 30 minutes. Idea number one was Rav Aaron Yehuda Leib Shteinman, Vayakam Melech Hadash. What does it mean, Chadash? Shenischad Shugzei Rosav. That when we change the way that we act, we can actually become a new person. Idea number two is from the Alexander Rebbe, Shal Na'alecha Me'al Raglecha. That what do we have to do? We have to break those habits. Na'al is a lock, and Regel is your habits. Shal Na'alecha, you have to remove the locks. You have to break the locks. You have to break those habits, and you have to change those habits. Idea number three was from Rav Matityahu Salomon on the week of his Yahrzeit, as an understanding of these two psukim, that it's the external threats that we always be victorious. It's the internal threats. It's us getting along with each other. That's what ultimately we have to work on. That's what caused the galus in the first place. And Be'ezras Hashem, that is what's going to cause the geula, b'mheira b'yameinu. I also just want to welcome a very special guest here this evening, Ben Isaacs, who is a rock star internally with the BRS staff. He's a dear friend of mine from the 11559. It's a great zchus, an honor of you to have you here with us this evening and to participate in our learning. And as always, our learning should be an aliyah for the neshama of Esther Tehila, Bas Gavriel Pinchas. I wish everyone a good Shabbos.